Welcome to Parents Perspective. So, Amanda's dad looked across the dinner table at his 13-year-old daughter. How was your first whole week as a middle schooler? Amanda drew in her breath and looked down at her plate. You don't really want to know, she mumbled, reaching for her fork.
Of course I do, her dad responded. Give it a try.
Amanda began. First they put me in the wrong homeroom. Then they gave me Mr. Davis for math. She made a grimace. He's so mean. He yells if you don't know the answer. I just can't go through a whole year with him. Well, her mom interjected, must be nice to be with your friends.
What friends? Amanda moaned. The very first day, Jenny decided she wanted to be friends with Karen, and Karen eats lunch with Betsy and Carrie, but Carrie told Melanie that she thinks my earrings are just too tacky, so I don't have anyone to eat lunch with.
Her eyes began to fill.
So how is my week? Just like my whole year's going to be. Horrible.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about middle school? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has spent many of her professional years working with just this age group. Eileen Bernstein has been an educator for over 30 years and a school counselor for the last 14. Her book, Middle School and the Age of Adjustment, describes life in a middle school and offers strategies to parents helping their children navigate this challenging period. She has two grown sons. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Eileen.
Thank you very much for having me.
What would you say makes the middle school years so different from the elementary school and high school years?
Well, elementary school is a very simple time in a child's life, and the parent has a tremendous amount of control. There's one teacher, there's a lot of communication. Then I'll flip up to high school. In high school, students have a lot of cognitive ability. In other words, they have developed their ability to think. There is more maturity. You can speak to issues of college and preparation for that. There are lots of activities. Middle school is absolutely the most difficult time in a child's life, and that's because of rapid changes that are physical, social, emotional, and academic.
Approximately how old are middle schoolers?
Well, in the area that we live, middle schoolers are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So you're mixing up a lot of growth and development and some immaturity and some growing maturity.
What are the biggest challenges that you see middle school children facing?
Really, the biggest challenge is socially, and it's more so for girls than for boys. Girls are making new relationships. Their influences are changing. One day they're friends, the next day they're enemies. And girls can be very mean to each other. There's a wonderful scene that occurred in the show Judging Amy, which was one of my favorite television shows. Lauren had become an eighth grader, and she came home one day and she said to her mom, "I am a vegetarian." The normal mom would say, "What are you talking about? You don't even like vegetables." At which point, Lauren ran up the stairs screaming, slammed her door, and turned on her stereo as loudly as she could. So let's roll back to new communication skills. What the mom should have said was, "Well, how interesting. Why don't we get a cookbook and you and I can learn to cook together?" So what you see is that children are being influenced by each other and they're coming home with these new ideas and parents don't know what to do about it because parents have always been able to say yes or no, good or bad. Now there is development of the brain and kids can question each other. So the social changes are outstanding. There's a lot of bullying. There's more bullying in middle school than in any other place at all.
Why is that?
I think it's because they're learning their social skills now, and it's like they're beginning skaters, and they're falling down a lot, and by the time they get to high school, they have developed a lot of social skills, but they're practicing on each other, and every day they're hurting each other. They also are recognizing that there are power differentials. Elementary school had control over that. Middle school doesn't. So girls do verbal aggression. boys do physical aggression. And the verbal aggression includes exclusion. For example, this is a story that someone told me last year about in a middle school. There were four girls that were very good friends, and one day three of them decided to exclude the other one, and they all decided that they would wear a certain color clothing and not tell the fourth girl. Well, the fourth girl came to school, and she was in tears. She was in the counselor's office. She felt she had lost her friends forever. And then 2 months later, they were all friends again. So it's a terribly emotional roller coaster ride. Parents also need to know the influence of these new blogging websites. Mm-hmm. There's Zanga, MySpace, and Facebook. Those are the three biggest. Kids can put up pictures. They can write things about themselves. They can exaggerate, which they do. Sometimes they want to attract attention, so they put false information on there. They can also put up a website about somebody else.
Kids can put anything they want up onto the
website. Right, and 1 in 5 students has been sexually addressed through the Internet. So this leads me to say one of the most important things, where is the computer in your house? It should not be in the bedroom. Mm. My cousin completely changed her downstairs living room. She said, well, we don't have company in the living room anyway. We're in the kitchen and the family room. So let's turn the living room into a study. And they put the computers and they put books and desks in there. And then they walked in and out and in and out. Now, that gives you a little bit of control. You don't have a lot of control over the instant messaging, IMing, which there is an awful lot of. Students, even in high school particularly, they will IM each other in class while they're sitting there and they're supposed to be learning. So while technology has presented a lot of great things for students to find information, it's also presented a lot of risks that these kids will fall into. So the social problems are really big. And middle school does have the most bullying. One of the girls told me that in order to be popular, you have to be mean to others. So what can parents do? Parents need to work with the schools. There are anti-bullying programs in many school systems. And if your school system doesn't have this, then you should ask your school system to look into it.
Now, how do you know if your child's being bullied if the child doesn't come home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm being bullied?
That's a really good question. Well, signs are that they come home and they're very upset. And they don't want to talk about it because they really are afraid that if you report the bully, that they will have more punishment coming to them. You can also look at your child, and unfortunately, bullies pick on people who are very emotional and sensitive. Bullies pick on people who don't look like everybody else. They may have curly hair or red hair or freckles or be very tall or be very overweight. And the best thing to do, honestly, is to put all this information out on the table. The purpose of my book is for parents to know. It's like one red flag after another. And so the best thing to do is to ask your child about whether or not they've been picked on. Just as you should ask your child what they would like to know about sex. That's one of the, and parents don't say, what would you like to know about sex? They just really don't want to talk about it. And so their children are getting information from the wrong places. So parents need to be really direct in saying to children, I know middle school can be really tough. I want to help you. I know that sometimes the school can help you. If you come to me and you ask, then we can work on these problems together. And you can find all kinds of books on bullying, and you can give strategies. There are tremendous strategies for an individual. A bully is looking for a payoff, and the payoff is the reaction. And if you don't give the reaction, then a bully will go somewhere else.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on middle school years.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, The Popular Voters Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Eileen Bernstein, author of Middle School and the Age of Adjustment, about children and their parents during the middle school years.
There's a lot of new information on the brain, and this is something that is really neat to know as a parent. Dr. Jay Geed at the National Institute of Mental Health has done a lot of research, and he has found that the brain continues to develop until you're 25.
Parents of high schoolers probably are very depressed to hear that, but not surprised.
Absolutely. And this is the last part of the brain to develop. It's called the frontal lobe. And what does it have in it? Organizational skills, control of impulsive behavior, control of recognizing what the results of their behavior will be. I had a student in sixth grade who, about the second week of school, cursed at the bus driver. So when I said to the boy, "Why are you cursing at the bus driver?" he said, "Well, he gave me dirty looks." I said, "Well, did you tell an adult?" He said, "No." I said, "Did you think of anything else to do except curse at him?" He said, "No." And that's kind of how middle schoolers think. They just kind of react. They're very impulsive.
So one of the things that parents, I guess, can do is try to give them a wider set of options to use when they get distressed or frustrated or something, a bigger palette
Absolutely.
To choose from.
And here are these kids. Their brains aren't developed yet. They can't really organize or prioritize very well. And yet we're asking them in middle school to adjust to seven different teachers. And they've had one teacher. I had a story just the other day. One of the counselors that I work with has a sixth grader. And she said that the science teacher had given a long-term project and had not sent home information. Long-term projects need to be broken down on a calendar. And she said Sunday night her daughter said, "Oh, step one is due on my science project." And the mother went, "What? Why didn't you tell me about this?" That's why you need to have a lot of communication, because there are seven teachers now, and each one has a different style. Each one puts homework at different places in the room, and the academic pressures are huge because the children have to adapt to all of this.
What should parents push for in a school setting then to make things easier on these kids who clearly an awful lot is expected of them and maybe they're not capable developmentally of producing?
Well, communication. And supposedly one of the benefits of middle school is that middle schools are organized by teams. And teams are supposed to meet several times a week and discuss students who are having problems. And a parent can always meet with the team. And one of the things that teachers don't realize is that two of them are giving a major test on the same day. And if a parent can come to a team meeting and kind of keep notes about the problems that their child has had, then the parent can say to the teachers, "Look, this is what my child is going through. Is there anything that the team can do to be more flexible, to communicate with each other, to find out when you're giving tests and major projects that will help my child?" It's really all communication. And unfortunately, a lot of parents, because when there are these physical changes and you're 12 years old perhaps, or even 13, which is the year when they are least inclined to learn, a lot of parents think, "Oh, well, my child is getting older. He or she can take charge of their life." And they really can't. They can't take charge of their life really until they leave your house. That's when you can trust them to take charge of their life.
I would think that in today's world of technology, a way that parents and teachers could communicate would be through emails. Teacher
Absolutely.
Has a project.
Absolutely.
In a particular class, I would have appreciated it in the days when my kids were in those grades, getting an email saying, "We have this project. Here are the dates that different parts of it are due."
Right. Absolutely. And in fact, the other thing that parents can really do to help their children is to enforce reading. Reading is a lost art. After all, children today can watch cable, they can do video games, they can be on cell phones all day long, And we want all of our children to have the opportunity to go to college. In order to go to college, you have to be a reader. So this year, actually, I try to have a goal every year. This year, my goal is to say to my students, I want you to go to the school library and get a book and bring it home. I want you to show it to me, please, and then take it home and read it, and then get another book and get another book, because reading is probably the best thing that you can do. And I would suggest that all homes have a period of, even if it's only 30 minutes a day, everybody's reading.
Wonderful suggestion. So the parents really have to be the models for this. They can't just tell the kid, oh, you need to go read now.
Right.
Eileen, if you could give a parent of a middle schooler one piece of advice, what would that be?
To recognize the changing influence that you have and to adapt your communication skills. It used to be that you were the main person in your child's life. If you said something was right or wrong, they agreed with it. Now they are being tremendously influenced by each other. They are being tremendously influenced by the media, by everything that they see on television and in movies. And your influence is changing. So you can no longer communicate the same way with them. And new communication skills are the most important thing for parents to develop.
You would stress then part of that communication is listening better?
Oh, absolutely. Listening and negotiating. And I have to tell you what I had to do with my sons when I was a single parent for about 8 years. And it was their job, the job of my sons, to take out the garbage twice a week. Now, beginning at about age 12, you cannot tell a child what to do and when. You can ask them. You can negotiate with them. You should have boundaries and responsibilities. But they're not going to take out the garbage exactly when you say so. So I devised a system. And I said, boys, if I put a note on the kitchen floor, because that's where we always put notes if someone called, and I said, take out the garbage, and I just put the note there, will you then promise me that you'll take it out before you go to bed? And they said, yes, Mom, that's a good idea. I put a note on the floor twice a week, probably for 5 years. And you know what? We never argued about garbage. Because you don't want to be arguing about garbage. You have to pick your battles. You have to listen. You have to negotiate.
So do your boys make house calls?
They obviously agreed to the system, which
right.
is a big part of it. It was not an order.
That's right. You cannot order adolescents. If anybody tries to get into a battle with an adolescent, you will lose. The process of arguing is what teenagers like. They don't care about the end product. So that's something else that parents need to do. You state what your rule is, and then you say, discussion ended. And sometimes you just have to go to the bathroom a lot because they will keep following you and close the door and say, I'm sorry, I can't talk anymore about this. It's also good to have family meetings once a week, especially if you have a fairly large family and a very busy family, and you talk about, you know, what's going well, and you talk about what problems there could be. You also have to be ready to listen when your child is willing to talk. They're not always willing to talk when you are.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on middle school years.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Eileen Bernstein, author of Middle School and the Age of Adjustment, about children and their parents during the middle school years.
We had a guest on the show one time who, at the time, he had young children, and we thought, well, just wait till you have to do this. But he very wisely advocated that parents should be up at some ungodly hour because he said teenagers are down at the refrigerator, and so that you need to really not do a whole lot of sleeping and come down at, like, midnight or something. And
that's
somebody
right.
Available.
Right. Yeah. Be available and talk to them when they are willing to talk. Be a role model. If you yell at them, and who doesn't yell at their children? And, you know, because you don't feel good or you're frustrated or your day was tough, apologize. Be the role model. And when you're really upset, don't talk. Because whenever we're upset with anybody, we say the worst things. And then a half an hour later or an hour later, we cool down and we would say things differently. A better thing to do, and one of my main suggestions, is to write notes. Write notes reminding them of what you want them to do, because there's no tone in a note. Write love notes. Tell them every day, and this is what's so important, because as parents, we tend to harp on our children a lot, and they know all of our values and all of our goals for them, and we harp too much. So a good rule is 5 words of praise for every time you make a correction. And if you think about that, 5, praise them 5 times, at least every day. They need to know that you really love them and you really care, because their world is changing so much. And talk to them about the dangers of alcohol and drugs. There was a recent article in the Washington Post that said that parents are clueless about parties. And by the way, when you have parties at your house, you better limit it to a small amount of people, because you can't control what's going outside and upstairs and downstairs. So you've got to be very vigilant and still being a part of their life. Now, when they say to you, "You don't trust me, you're giving me too many rules," you need to just say, "Well, I'm sorry, I'm just very worried about you, and please forgive me for being a worrywart." 2 other communication devices are, one is called an iMessage, and that's when you refer to yourself. And you say, for example, "I feel very frustrated because I have to clean up the dirt from your shoes. Could you please take off your shoes when you come in and you know they're muddy?" The other is active listening. When your child comes home and says, "My teacher hates me," don't say, "Oh, teachers don't hate students," because you are not admitting to the child's feelings. What you do is you say, "Sounds like you had a frustrating day. You want to tell me some more about it, and I can help you with it." These are all communication skills that parents need to know about with these children.
Eileen, what resources would you suggest for listeners who want to further pursue some of the many, many issues we've been discussing today?
Basically, there are 4 places to get resources. One is through websites, and at the back of my book, Middle School and the Age of Adjustment, there are a lot of websites given, and everything is organized in the back of this book according to categories. There are books that are listed as well. One can get professional help. And a lot of people today just Google or go on the internet to try to get information. For example, ADD is a very major issue, especially with boys. And there's a book listed by Dr. Larry Silver, who is considered to be an expert. Understanding Girls' Issues, Reviving Ophelia by Mary Pfeiffer. When it came out, everybody was reading it. It really shows what is going on. There are some interesting websites. I actually went on one the other day, and that's parentingteens.about.com/. But it has really interesting things in it. For example, it talks about talking to your teens about friendship, how to roast pumpkin seeds. Doing things together as a family is just a wonderful preventative for outside influences. How to reduce your teen's television time. How to get your teen to do homework. Parents failing to spot drug abuse, study says. Some of these websites are excellent. They can have some advertising with them. The basic thing is to know that there are websites, books, there are professionals. And if you think that your child does have a serious problem, seek professional help. Start with a counselor at school and the counselor can probably guide you to some places to get specific help. Don't let problems in middle school get worse, because I have seen too many students in high school who had problems in middle school that were not solved, and then in high school, the child was less inclined to get help.
Well, we are so fortunate to have had you, Eileen Bernstein, on our show to help our parents get some help and get a lot of information on the middle school years. So thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you so much for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is a copy of Eileen Bernstein's book, Middle School and the Age of Adjustment. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. With your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 308. Please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a real big help to us. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we air all over the world, it's fun to know where you are tuning in. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the site, you can even hear a show at any time. Just scroll down to the topic or guest of your choice and click onto the words Listen to Podcast below. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective programs. Parents' Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents' Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. Thank you for helping us to continue to work for you. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.